What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogenmeyer. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, a lot to get into. Today is the return of the Mac. We have John Kegley back in the building here to record with us. Not actually in the building, but it just sounded cool to say that. But John is going to be back on the show today in segments 2 and 3, and there are two segments kind of dedicated to him and his ideas, and one is the voicemails paying tribute to John Kegley, which I think is appropriate. A lot of very kind words that you guys had to say. It means a lot to me, and I know it means even more to John Kegley. So we are going to be getting to the voicemails at the end of the show. In the second segment, we are going to be getting into Philip Rivers and the options that he has now. So we're going to be talking about what the likelihood is that Philip Rivers is going to come back at this point, the options that he would have if he decided to go to another team, and we'll get into that. So there's some really good stats that John has for that. But we're going to start with the rumors from Tony Pauline of Pro Football Network talking about a potential Charger that could be transition tagged if they aren't able to get a deal done in free agency. So we're going to start with that, but let's go ahead and get into it. Tony Pauline of the Pro Football Network has reported that the buzz around the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama is that the Chargers are potentially going to transition tag one of their players. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogenmeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. The reports are coming out, David, that the Chargers are potentially going to place the transition tag on tight end Hunter Henry. So far in the offseason, a deal has yet to be done. We've seen some dealings throughout the NFL, so the Chargers could have potentially already brought him back on board, but they are showing interest, saying they are going to try to re-sign him. But if they can't re-sign him, they are thinking about using the transition tag on him. The exact quote from Tony Pauline was, "If the Chargers cannot re-sign Henry before the start of free agency, the belief here at the Senior Bowl is that they'll place the transition tag on him so they have some options other than losing Henry to another team." So, David, when you hear that, obviously, we know how important Hunter Henry was to the offense. Do you think it's a good idea for the Chargers, if they can't get a deal done, to use that transition tag on him, which right now is projected to be $9.27 million per over the cap, which would make him the fourth highest paid tight end in the NFL?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that would be the right move to do. I mean, Hunter Henry is a foundational building block for the Chargers offense. He's still very young. When he's on the field, he's very, very productive. So I would love to see the Chargers re-sign Hunter Henry to a longer-term deal. And if they can't do that, then another way to keep him with the Chargers would be to use the transition tag. So any way to keep Hunter Henry around for longer is a plan that I am definitely going to endorse.
I would tend to agree with that, David. I think he just brings something extra to this offense that they don't have without him. And we can't ignore the depth at the position right now. Without Hunter Henry, it's basically just Sean Colkin, who was injured all of last season, and Virgil Green, who did basically nothing in the receiving game. So it's very important for them to do it. The only hang up is obviously the injury history, but I think you have to roll the dice with a player of Hunter Henry's caliber and hope that he can be healthier in the future. But the transition tag, what it does is basically makes him a restricted free agent. So other teams could approach the Chargers about signing Hunter Henry, but the Chargers would have an option to match that contract. So the Chargers will have final say on whether or not they're bringing him back based on what another team might offer. So David, one of the contracts that I saw that makes sense to me is the Zach Ertz contract, a 5-year, $42.5 million contract with an average annual value of $8.5 million. You could lock him up for 5 years, and I think you could still get value out of that.
I love that deal, actually. I think that would be a really good starting block for the framework of a deal that, you know, Hunter Henry could potentially sign with the Chargers. He's right around fourth or fifth best tight end in the league for me, and I think he deserves that type of money. If he's on the football field, he's extremely productive. He's a great blocker. He's a good presence. He's a great receiver, a great red zone target, has sure hands. He's someone that you definitely want to keep around for a long time because you can spread your money around more that way. But he's definitely somebody you want in the building because he's going to help your team be better.
He 100% makes your team better, and he's a part of your offense that you can't afford to lose. He was really good under Shane Steichen last year. He had a career high in receiving yards and receptions last season and was near the top of the league even though he missed four games. You have to get it done, and if you're going to use the transition tag, the one thing I would caution is that we've seen these tags turn into bad relationships at the end of it. So if they use the transition tag on him, they can't come to a multi-year deal. That could put him in an uncomfortable position this season, not knowing what his future is going to be, like we've seen with some of the impending free agents of Chargers past. But we do have two more segments to get into. It's the return of John Kegley and what Philip Rivers is going to do next, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys something that always gets me excited, like Hunter Henry getting into the end zone, and that is BlueChew.com. You guys remember good sex? Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, I can offer that to you with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since they prepare and ship direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, you guys can still get your Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com. You can get that first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you got to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And also, you guys are big fans of this show, and if you guys are big enough fans that you think you know football well enough that you could choose any game and call it, well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all that sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. And I think John Kegley is probably going to find a new career with MyBookie because of all that useless sports knowledge that he keeps up there, and, you know, the good stuff as well. And between football season, NBA, and the start of the college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Right now, we still have a special deal going for our listeners. If you guys go to MyBookie, they will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you got to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the next segment. But first, we welcome back John Kegley, who had to take an unfortunate hiatus this week. We are excited to get him back on the show, like we are going to do every week from here until we're not the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast anymore. But John, I'm excited to have you back. We got some really good segments for you today, and I'm excited for you to get back to the people because we heard with the voicemails, we know they want you.
Who doesn't want me? I'm just full of knowledge and Jesus. Full of negativity, right?
Calm down.
Just went straight to his head. We're skipping the final segment of the show today. This is Daniel Wade, Locked On Chargers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Wade. Thank you. I'm glad you're skipping that segment to give me a free segment of talking. I would love to just talk about Tom Brady in a Chargers uniform deflating the stadium.
No. In this segment, we're going to be getting into what Philip Rivers' options are going forward. So first, I just want to ask you guys, David, I already talked to John and his head is barely fitting inside the room right now. So I want to know what, at this point, with everything we've heard, with all the rumors flying around and everything else, what you think is going to happen with Philip Rivers. What would you put the percentage at that you think he's coming back to the Chargers at this point?
Yeah, I mean, as much as it hurts me, because I'm a huge Philip Rivers fan, I mean, I've said it multiple times, you know, I'm sure you could probably hear it in some of my commentary, you know, in previous shows, but I love Philip Rivers, so this kind of pains me and it hurts me to say it, but I think right now the likelihood that he's going to return to the Chargers is about 45%. I don't like it a lot. I just think that everything that's happened in this offseason with the, you know, press conference and him moving, all of those kind of, you know, unintended or not, just those, you know, hints, you know, those things that are happening, it just indicates that he's either going to retire or he's going to move on to another team. And I wouldn't be surprised if that team was more on the East Coast.
So that's, you know, less than a 50-50 shot. So I think you thought maybe going into this, maybe it was at least 50-50. There was at least 50% chance that he was going to come back. But obviously with everything laid in front of you, I mean, it's hard to feel like that at this point. But John, where would you put the percentage at if I'm asking you?
Well, before the move, I had it at about like maybe 70% that he comes back. But now that he's moved to Florida, I have it at about 10%. And that 10% is the Chargers actually fill a lot of their holes on this team, including the offensive line, get another tight end and a third wide receiver, and Rivers is willing to go, okay, you know what, this is fixed, and there's a decent amount of money left for me, I can make this work. But other than that, he's probably going to some other teams that we'll talk about in this segment.
Well, and the important thing to remember is how adamant he was about wanting to play at the end of the season in 2020. And obviously, I mean, you're coming out of your last game. Of course, you're going to feel like that then. But, you know, after going home to his family, after moving to Florida, who knows what his thought process is at this point. And so for the fact that this question is he going to go back to the Chargers, I think makes me put mine at about 5%. I just really don't see it. I almost wanted to say 1% just because I'm pretty much sold on the fact that he's gone. I can't see him going and living in California for a full season, even though, you know, you're traveling half of the season anyways. I can't see him renting a place in Los Angeles and still playing for the Chargers with everything that you guys have mentioned before. It just seems like the writing is on the wall in this situation. I know I've said that a lot, but I think that Philip Rivers is not a person who wants to rush into any decision, but there's also a part of me that thinks that he's going to be a somewhat hot commodity in the free agent market, and that we could see him sign pretty quickly into free agency without the Chargers even getting a chance to say, hey, Phil, look at what we brought in. Look at what we did to protect you. Look at what we brought to help you get that ring. So we'll see what happens, but I'm leaning very heavily on him not coming back to the Chargers right now, but I'm not willing to totally rule it out either. But let's get into what you wanted to talk about, John, because you wanted to talk about some situations that could be interesting for the Chargers. Who did you have in mind when you wanted to bring up this segment?
Well, first one I'm going to bring up is the hot one, and that is that Rivers is supposedly going to be going to the Buccaneers. So if he does that, that means he'll have a chance to beat the three teams that he has yet to beat in his career. He's beaten 29 of the 32 NFL teams. He has yet to beat the Chargers, of course. The Saints, who have two chances at it, and the Panthers, who have two chances at it. And then if that's the case, that would mean Jameis Winston could be on the market. Would he be a quarterback for the Chargers? I think those would be the two situations right there that would be a conversation.
Well, I'll start by saying I want no piece of Jameis Winston. I mean, if I didn't kind of already have a preconceived notion, I guess, that he's just really not a good human being. And you add that to the fact that, I mean, he just hasn't really been a good quarterback since being selected number one overall. And we all know how much trouble we had with the issues of Philip Rivers and turning the ball over this year. I think that obviously Jameis Winston has a much higher ceiling at this point, but David, could you live with those mind-boggling, head-scratching turnovers with Jameis Winston every season, even though you know the talent is there?
Hell no. I don't want anything to do with Jameis Winston. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he carries himself. I don't like him on the football field. Sorry, I don't want anything to do with Jameis Winston in a Chargers uniform. No, thank you.
Andy, the way he eats W's, I mean, I just don't know who wants to bring that into his huddle. I mean, if you guys haven't seen that video, I mean, that's just after that, I was just, I knew he was never going to be good after that. It was pretty obvious to me. It's not a franchise quarterback.
That game too.
Yeah, that made it a little bit better. But Jameis Winston is the guy that, you know, Philip Rivers might have finished his Chargers career with an interception, but at least he didn't finish his season with a record breaking interception that goes for a pick six in overtime, not only to lose the game, but to be the first quarterback ever to get 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season. But John, the other two options I think make the most sense in my mind would be the Indianapolis Colts because of the ties with Frank Reich, the strong running game, and all of that. I think I'm not a huge fan of T.Y. Hilton. I think he's a really good receiver, but I don't think that's a drawing point for Philip Rivers to be like, oh, I'm going to go here for T.Y. Hilton.
Good O-line, too.
Yeah, and they have a good offensive line with, you know, we'll see who gets brought back in free agency, but, you know, Quentin Nelson, that's a pretty damn good start for an offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a fitting situation just because of the coach, but I don't think there's enough talent there to be a Super Bowl contender. So I'm kind of 50-50 on that one. I think if the money's right, Rivers would just say, hey, you know, screw it, I want to play one more year. This would be a good place to go, good fans, and at least I know the coach. And the game plan will probably be similar to what it was before. But I don't think this is a championship team for Rivers. So if Rivers is going to be looking for a ring in his final year, I don't think the Colts would be it.
Yeah, so the one thing that I would bring up after that, then, you're talking about a Super Bowl roster. And I'm not saying that this team has one, but I think my favorite place for Philip Rivers to land would be in Tennessee. I mean, the ties make sense as far as being the closest NFL team to where he grew up in Decatur, Alabama. But it's not just that. It's who would have Philip Rivers need to do the least. I'm a big fan of A.J. Brown. He would have a number one receiver in the making. I think that they have obviously a really good running scheme and a pretty good offensive line. And obviously, Ryan Tannehill seems like the logical person to keep on playing there, and that could very well happen. But David, if I was Philip Rivers, I think that's where I would want to go if I was not going back to the Chargers.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, Ryan Tannehill did okay. I mean, he managed some games. I mean, he played decently. But I think if you put Philip Rivers in that team, I think they are on that team. I think they have a much better chance in the playoffs because he can actually make some things happen. He can make some throws. Philip Rivers, even at his age right now, can still make throws some most other quarterbacks can't make. I mean, that's what was so torturous about watching this season is you see Philip Rivers throw an interception, and then you see Philip Rivers throw, make an absolutely incredible throw that you're just like, what is going on here? Like, where did the consistency go? If Philip Rivers brings that consistency and has a solid running game and an offensive line and a good defense that punches you in the mouth, I think that he would definitely have a lot of success with the Tennessee Titans and maybe have a good chance of getting a ring.
I got a better one. If Tom Brady was to leave the Patriots, I think that would be the better fit for Philip Rivers with Bill Belichick's game plan, a roster that's built for the Super Bowl, and you'll have Philip Rivers who will have a better coaching staff than what was at the Chargers, which would also bring on the situation of Tom Brady coming to the Chargers. But this is more of better ring for Philip Rivers. I think the Patriots would be the better situation for Rivers, but I think the Titans is also a really good idea because they got a young roster that is nothing but go up since. But my only question is, would they be willing to go with Rivers, or are they going to want to stick with Ryan Tannehill, who just had a really good postseason?
Well, and I think David undersold Ryan Tannehill a little bit just in the fact that, I mean, he had the highest passer rating in the NFL after he took over and played that game against the Chargers, which the Chargers should have beat him. So, I mean, he was really good. In the playoffs, first two games, he didn't go over 100 yards, and they won both the games. So it's hard to say that he was the reason that got them there, but he was absolutely good in the regular season, and I think it would make more sense. If I was the Titans, I would bring in Ryan Tannehill over Philip Rivers. That's just my opinion. But I think that the Patriots thing holds some water with me just because they could get a young quarterback. Jarrett Stidham was a guy who I think, I forget who said it, but I think the biggest indictment was he got in one game, the Patriots were winning in a blowout. He threw a pick six, and the next week the team signed Cody Kessler. So I don't think they're sold on Jarrett Stidham from Auburn by a large margin. But the other thing is they have a pretty late first round draft pick. So it doesn't seem like they're getting into the game in the draft with a quarterback either. So as far as free agent options go, I mean, there's a few guys that could make sense for the Patriots, but if I was Philip Rivers, I would be leaning that way. I mean, it's a proven team. I mean, with a proven track record, they could get the most out of Philip Rivers and accentuate what he does well. And I think, you know, Rivers would love to work with a coach like Bill Belichick, just with the way he loves the game.
And if he can't beat him, join them.
That's what they say, right? I hope it doesn't happen. But I do want Philip Rivers to get a ring. So that's the predicament that we're in. But I think for as far as the Chargers, though, I think one of the biggest things about Philip Rivers was excusing a lot of the turnovers. But I think there is one kind of anecdote I want to throw in from Tyler Schoon on Twitter, who put, of the 21 turnovers that Philip Rivers committed this year, he included the fumble against Tennessee. 11 were on the first or second down. So that's more than half of them were on first or second down, not third and long, not fourth down. Of the 21, only 5 came when he was down 1 or more scores, 7 points. So only 5 came with him trailing. That means 16 came with at least a neutral game or the Chargers were ahead. And of the 21, only 2 were on fourth down. And he says, which in his opinion is inexcusable because he had to throw it. So I think that we made some excuses about Philip Rivers this season, at least some of the interceptions. I think a lot of them, you know, have some explanation to them. I think that's worth something as well, is just kind of realizing, you know, a lot of those turnovers might have been more inexcusable than we said. But in the moment, I know we were feeling that they were definitely inexcusable a lot of the times, especially, you know, when you're throwing 16 of them when you're tied or have the lead. So I hope Philip Rivers can bounce back next season, even if it's with another team. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's John Kegley Appreciation Day, and we have some voicemails that have to be listened to, so I'm excited to get into that. But first, I need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership, and we always want to thank Metro Infinity for being one of the only local sponsors that we've had as the Locked On Chargers, and for being the best car dealership in California that's been family-owned for over 25 years. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to check out their brand-new multi-million-dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the car and the paperwork to your home or office, which for me, the last time I bought a car, it took me like 5 hours in the dealership. That's my favorite part. And the best part about all of it is they'll even save you some money, because if you go in and you tell them that we sent you over there, you can get an extra $500 off any car purchase. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. If you are thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. All right, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the show, getting into our fan voicemail Friday segment, as we always do. And today we have a lot of John appreciation voicemails, and the first one comes from Barnaby. So let's go ahead and get into it. Barnaby's been one of our most loyal callers, so I'm glad he came in, and he actually reached out to the Locked On Network too, which was something that was really cool. But let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, fellas, Barnaby from the 805. Just shocked and really disappointed to hear the news. John, man, you have been such an amazing, amazing host. I really love the fact that you go to all the games and just how diehard you are, man. And you're always the voice of reason. You know, I think a lot of times we get really excited. I remember when we were going into New England last year, I kind of took a shot and I said, hey, man, this is our year. John Kegley's picking the Patriots to win. And sure enough, we got our asses kicked. So I think you've always kind of been that voice of reason and a realist, I think, as David calls you. And I don't know. It sucks. And the laws are a bunch of BS a lot of times. So much red tape, and it's all about money. I don't know. I'll be calling the Locked On guys. If I got to listen to Blue Chew commercials every day, then I want to listen to John Kegley. So I will do my part, and there's probably nothing we can do other than to voice our opinion, and that's that you're a fantastic host. And, hey, man, maybe you can go start your own podcast. Who knows? Wherever you go, though, I'll be listening. Thanks so much, man, for everything, and I'll definitely reach out on Facebook, I'll try and watch Chargers Domination live as well. All right, until then, this is a team that will test your patience. This is a team that will test your sanity. And today is another day, and we just got to push forward and stay positive and see what happens. But again, thank you, John. I really appreciate all that you've done.
All right, well, first let me start by saying I'm offended that my Blue Chew ad reads have made you feel that way. Not to take all the spotlight away from John. He'll have his time in the daylight, but I mean, what am I doing wrong? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I love doing Blue Chew ad reads, so just remember that, Barnaby. It's pretty cool to hear something like that and hear how much he appreciates it, and especially, I mean, him going the extra step and saying something and sticking up for you. I know you and Barnaby have gone back and forth before, and you're that kind of person, but it was pretty cool to see that. We really appreciate it, Barnaby.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that you actually reached out to the network on that, and yeah, I'm that guy that has those weird views on the game, but as you said, realist. I see the game for what it is, not what I want it to be. If I was the case, I would just be like, okay, every game Chargers 55-0, we're winning. But I just can't do that. I see too many flaws in this team, and I want to call them out so that hopefully somebody will yell at the team and make them fix it. Wishful dreaming, but I really do appreciate those words, Barnaby. But he also inboxed me, and we were having some fun Blue Chew talk.
Oh, no.
Stuff that we can't say on this podcast, but it was pretty fun.
We love interacting with you guys. And, I mean, you guys just make us forever grateful that we have this platform to talk about. And you guys always bring up good questions, too. I mean, we have some of the best callers in the whole Locked On Podcast Network. I've heard other callers. I think you guys always bring it strong, and we always appreciate it. And we appreciate, you know, putting your money where your mouth is and actually standing up for one of us. It makes us feel really good. So thank you, Barnaby. I appreciate it. I'm going to keep stepping on my Blue Chew ad reads until you want to go buy some yourself, and you can send me a picture on Facebook anytime. But another part he brought up was just he's going to watch CDL more too, which is Chargers Domination Live, which is a weekly show that the three of us do together. So if you guys want to get in on that, it's definitely worth it. We have a lot of fun over there. It's a much crazier show, much more unedited show, which is fun as well and dangerous.
And a lot more uncensored.
Yeah, uncensored show. That's what I meant to say. But we do have one of our favorite callers and one of the worst things that's ever happened to the Chargers in franchise history. Let's hear what Lamlock has to say this week.
Hey, it's your boy Lamlock for Drums. Just heard the unfortunate news about John Pegley. Some stupid law not putting him in the show as much. That's very unfortunate. Even though this guy makes fun of me a lot, beating me in basketball, calling me the curse. But that's this guy. The show wouldn't be the same. So I'm still going to be listening every week, you know. I'm not only listening because of John Kegley, but without him, he puts in some unfortunate facts about how bad the team is. So that sucks. But it is what it is. Go Bolts.
Well, Lamlock, one of Barnaby's other calls that we're going to get into on another show was yelling at you for and telling you to go buy a new jersey. We didn't get into that today, but I think it's still relevant. But John, you and Lamlock, I mean, he was the first person I think that ever saw you and knew, you know, who you were from the show, which was a pretty cool experience. And you guys both visited me at work one day and you guys were playing basketball and you beat him, which if you guys saw these two people standing next to each other, I don't think you'd think that John would be the one winning in basketball. But Lamlock has become one of our favorite callers, and even though he's cursed and has brought all of this shame upon us and our franchise, I still appreciate it. And I know, John, you know, you guys are basically friends at this point, legitimate friends, and it has to feel good to hear that from Lamlock.
It does. And just to think, we would have never really met in person if not for him being a trolley cop at the San Diego State trolley stop. And I'm on my way to go to the Bengals game, and he comes up to me and he's like, "Excuse me, sir." I'm like, "Oh my God, what the hell does this guy want now? He's going to check my ticket again." And he's like, "Are you the guy from that show?" And I'm like, "What show?" And he goes, "That Chargers Dom, like Chargers Domination Live." He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool. Okay. I don't have to beat you up now." But ever since then, we've become good friends. We played Madden. We played basketball. I'm 8-1 against him all time.
Oh,
and hashtag humble brag.
In all competitions or what?
Well, in basketball.
But, okay, damn.
We're not going to talk
about the Madden record. Wait, what's the Madden record?
He beat me in Madden, but I'm not going to lie. I got ripped off. The game glitched on me because my internet gave out on me, and my never happened.
He was robbed.
So it went way wide right.
My John, game the went New Orleans way Saints right. of Madden.
Yeah, basically, I'm like the Blair Walsh. So Lamblock got one on me, but I mean, I can donate one to charity. He is my fangirl.
That's hilarious. But I mean, just another example of just how much, you know, the callers mean to us and just having you guys be involved with the show. And even though he's cursed, you know, we still put his voicemails on every once in a while. You should hear all the other ones he's sending. He sends in about 15 a week. But Lamlock, I let this one through. We appreciate you always calling in.
And we gave him a chance to end the curse, too.
And we gave you a chance to end the curse and you didn't take it. So either way, and then you lie about it on top of that. But we don't have to get into that because we do have one more caller. One of David's new favorite callers, as he told me. I definitely want to throw some credit out there. I definitely have liked Craig since he started calling in, and I think he brings it again this week. Let's hear what Craig has to say.
Hey, guys, this is Craig. Just want to first start off by saying, hey, John, man, sorry about everything that's going on. Happy that we will at least be able to hear you part-time, though sometimes your takes do drive me crazy. I appreciate everything you do, man, and really like hearing you guys all together every day. So it's a real bummer that that's going to be amended a bit. But, you know, keep you going, guys. And, again, appreciate you, John. Thanks for sticking around as much as you can also. Really want to try to keep this as short as possible because I could go on about it all day. But just kind of want to take a bit of a deep dive into Gus Bradley and see what you guys think about him, you know, sticking around with the team moving forward. From what I've seen throughout the years, Gus Bradley's so-called schemes are just pretty much completely player-dependent. He's always had really elite talent to cover for his lack of nuance in the defense. We've all seen throughout the years that cover three is all about playing it safe. And with the type of weapons we have defensively, we should be in attack mode more often than we're not, especially against some of these really, really aggressive teams the Kansas Cities of the world that we're going to be dealing with, you know, at least twice a year for the next however many years with Mahomes and company being there, that 4x1 track relay team they have that they throw out there every week. But, I mean, if you look at it, the grand scheme of things, every time Gus Bradley has been successful, it's been more player-based than it is the actual scheme itself. There's no nuance to it. In Seattle with the Legion of Boom, you had all these players like Michael Bennett, Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing in Jacksonville. You know, a lot of top-tier, high-level players on that defense, and they pretty much covered up for where Gus fell short. So I'm just kind of wondering what you guys think about his prospects moving forward. I mean, the only way that this team can compete with, like, the KCs of the league is to kind of stack it up on defense, and unless Gus really comes around and changes this quote-unquote scheme up, then we're going to be looking at, you know, having big plays beat us every now and again, and the defense holding up for the most part. But when it comes down to making plays in the clutch, probably giving some plays up, especially if we end up missing one piece or so, like a Derwin. Again, it just goes to show you there's no change in game plans at all. You know, if one guy goes down, the whole defense suffers, especially if it's a key guy, which is typically how it works. So, again, guys, just kind of wondering what you think about Gus Bradley. What do you think happens moving forward if, you know, we kind of go into next season and they're playing that safe cover three shell the majority of the game and we get beat up on a little bit? What do you think the future holds for that guy moving forward? But, again, guys, thanks for this show every week. Again, John, thank you for everything that you've done, man, and thanks for sticking around again, and keep the hot takes coming. I'll be calling the rebuttal.
All right, well, I think it's funny because it's another person saying, you know, John, sometimes you drive me crazy, but he appreciates you, and I think that's the effect he has. And when we started this show, that's what I always appreciated about John Kegley, and having him on the show was he never cared what I had to say about anything. If he thought the same thing that I thought, he would tell me. And if he didn't, he would tell me. And he's not always going to tell you what you want to hear, but a lot of times he's going to be right. So I think that's something that's important to remember. And what John's, I mean, a contrarian, I'm a contrarian at heart. And I think that I've always appreciated that about you, John. You're never afraid to say what you think, and you're never ashamed to have your opinion and your analysis. I mean, you always stand behind it. And that's something I've always loved about you, is just how much you talk with conviction and tell people what they don't want to hear, even when they need to hear it.
Well, as I like to say, David and Lamblock defended my American right to say that stuff, and I'm going to exercise it because it is my opinion. And when I feel the Chargers are going to mess up at something or they're going to do good at something, I'm going to let you know about it. I was the one who was telling people, like, hey, we're going to win this game. And everybody's like, oh, no, you're stupid. And like, oh, hey, you're right. Like the Bengals game last year, I had so many tweet messages coming at me saying how stupid I was for saying that we were going to win a close game against the Bengals. This is the Bengals team that had like one win at the time. Mm-hmm. And we Jeff won just by five. I predicted 27-21, we won 26-21, and then I get all these apologies later, and I'm just like, that's what I'm here for. But I really appreciate that call, Craig, and I also got to say that he has been saying the same thing I've been saying about
Gus Bradley
the whole time, and that is his game plan is basically covered up with great talent. If you were to give him anybody else, he would suck. He would not adjust. He would just suck.
And David, I wanted to get your thoughts on that too, because I think at this point, it seems like Gus Bradley's job is safe. I mean, we've heard some reports, kind of unfounded rumors, that Gus Bradley was going to stay with the Chargers, but we haven't heard of any dismissals as far as this coaching staff goes. But do you have some of the same issues that Craig brings up about Gus Bradley?
Yes, I definitely do. First of all, Craig, I love your calls because you always come with really good, poignant questions. So that's really the big reason. And I completely agree with you on this one. I think that he is not aggressive enough. I think he plays too safe. I don't think he blitzes enough. I just hate the way he, you know, just wants, you know, to sit back and just keep things in front of you. I want a defense that attacks. And the Chargers haven't had that in quite a while. And I think that's partly because of how Gus Bradley wants to play his scheme. I mean, he just wants to keep everything in front of him. I want a defense that's going to go attack and maul the offense and just suffocate them. But the Chargers don't have that type of defense, and I want it.
This is why we need to have John Kegley as the Chargers defensive coordinator, and I'm sure Barnaby will back me up on that.
Yeah, well, John needs a new job, guys, a new full-time job. So, and he's either going to go in the Army, he's going to be the Chargers defensive coordinator. It's going to be one of those two things. We'll see what happens. But no, I agree with Gus Bradley. I mean, I think I've been one of the more critical people of him after the season, saying, you know, these defensive statistics that you see, you know, when you see top five in passing yards allowed and all those things, don't tell the whole story. I mean, there's plenty of metrics that you can find that say that Gus Bradley is not a good defense, and that's with some of the star players that the Chargers have. And I think you saw his non-aggressive defense with the Chargers only being ahead of the Giants in turnovers, which is something that you never want to see or be mentioned in the same breath as. And I think you saw it with the Chargers at the end of halves and at the end of games. And one thing to me, guys, that really stands out is when the Chargers are going up against some of these really good defenses and it's the fourth quarter and you need to come back, and Phillip Rivers' interceptions aside, I mean, you think that one of these good players is going to make a play. And with the Chargers' defense at the end of games, at the end of halves, you're expecting the other team to go score in some way or another. And I think that's a huge criticism that I have of Gus Bradley, is they're never good in those situations. And he seems to be blitzing less and less and missing out on what he had success with when Derwin James was sacking Patrick Mahomes last year in those games. So I think that he needs to become more aggressive. I think that you saw that with Anthony Lynn, where Anthony Lynn said at halftime, we're going to come out and play more man-to-man coverage. Of course, it ends up with Tyreek Hill being covered by Drew Tranquil, you know, in a broken coverage. But I think you've seen that this has already come up between those guys, and Anthony Lynn wants him to be more aggressive as well. So we'll see what happens. I would have wished they could have maybe started new with some fresh blood, but I think you're right. I think he has been covered up by a lot of elite talent that he's had that's maybe covered up some of his mistakes. And let's not forget, when he was with the Jaguars, he was, I think, the worst statistical coach in NFL history, record-wise. So that didn't really do much good for him then. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you to John Kegley for being on the show with us today. Always, you know, so excited. I think it makes me more excited for the John Kegley shows. I can, you know, really just get hyped up about it because he really brought it today. And I think it ended up being a really good show because of that. But until next week, guys, we'll be back with some more voicemails and some more stuff on Monday, getting into some more position groups next week and getting more into this draft process and what we see out of the Senior Bowl this weekend. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to call onto the show, the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets on the show, and we'll have three more for you guys from Donnie and Tim on Monday coming up for you. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.